when we put the right foundation in and we renew our mind every day, the world doesn't change just because we renewed our mind. But our response to the world, at least we can get that frustration and those things shorter than if we don't have that margin there.
Welcome to The Ziglar Show. I'm your host, Kevin Miller, and I'm here to inspire your true performance. From the framework established by Zig Ziglar, one of the top motivators and personal development leaders our world has ever known, who believed we could all be more, do more, and have more. How? Improve ourselves, beginning with how we think about ourselves. So today, let's break down some personal development. What is the primary enemy of your ongoing peace? This is the question I posed to our listeners. I'm referring back to my interview with Rick Hansen in show 647, where we talked about being resilient. And I wanted to hear from you. So I asked this question on Facebook: what is the primary enemy of your ongoing peace? And this keeps happening. It was, again, another record number of incredibly candid responses. Most people seem fairly aware of what the consistent culprits are that can easily derail them if they're not diligent and aware, which is excellent because getting those things out on the table is half the battle. Well, Tom Ziglar joined me to talk through them. It was really convicting for all of us. So I'll start right after I share some great resources with you.
I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935. And I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste. And right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Okay, friends, here Tom Ziglar and I read through your comments to what is the primary enemy of your ongoing peace. All right, Tom, well, some of these questions that I post, I feel like, all right, I should be brave enough to admit what my own answer is on these. And so to that question of what's the primary enemy of your ongoing peace, when I think about just the day-to-day, it is feeling overwhelmed, feeling it's all on me, and not feeling in control in a different variety of ways. I don't have to control other people, but I want to control, you know, my environment, myself, and things I care about in that nature. And those are the things that creep up on me, and I'm getting better at recognizing them. Doesn't mean I can get right over them, but it had a lot of people say, gosh, yeah, me too, on that, amongst the incredible number of comments that we got on this. But so I thought I'd pose that to you, man. When the day's going on, and I know you are renewing your mind every morning, you're joyful about life, you're optimistic, but what are the things that can creep in on you and threaten to wreck your peace?
Well, Kevin, I tell you what, there's a couple of things. And today I got up, I did my two chairs. I actually read a book by Tim Irwin. I'll think of the title in a little bit. Fantastic on creating the right culture, and just got into it. Read some scripture, and then did the thing that you're not supposed to do, check my email, although I did it in the right order.
Right.
And boy, some things blew up. So things that destroy my peace. One of them is unanticipated things with a deadline. Oh my gosh. Probably my overall biggest one though is my personality. I am in the DISC profile, I'm an S.
Yep.
I do not like relationship conflict.
Oh, well.
And most people don't, right? But it just affects other people. You know, some people are like, well, that's their problem, that's not my problem, they can go on. My assumption is, what did I do to cause this problem? And usually I didn't. I like harmony. I like everybody being there. But that's a big one for me. If there are people around me, friends, family, business partners, customers who are having an issue, I like to get that resolved. Mm-hmm. And the third one is overwhelm. My same personality. I joke, you know, I can make 3 decisions a day. And so if you don't catch me before 6 a.m., you're not getting the decision. I'm joking about that. But when I have a lot of decisions that need to be made, gosh, that overwhelms me. So unexpected relationship conflict and having to make too many decisions in a row.
Well, I hear you, man. We don't have the same personality profile, but as a people pleaser, that one, I spend so much time, or I tend to, getting better, I'm trying to be responsible for other people's feelings, which is insanity. Well, there you go, folks. There's your testimony admission from Tom and Kevin. So here I'm going to jump in. Susan Overstreet, she says, agrees with what I said. She says, plus distractions and prioritizing. I could do it better when I was younger because I would stay up late or do all-nighters to do the things that need to be done. But I can't now. I need my sleep. But at least I no longer let those anxieties bother my sleep as a rule. Now I have to keep the overwhelmingness from making me stop altogether. Only solution I know is prayer, positive music, and focus on the next right thing to do. Boy, I think she spoke for a lot of people. We talk a lot about, prioritizing. That's a word that is so difficult for us. I almost wonder, Tom, if it's more difficult because of not to just harp on social media, but, you know, we always talk about America, we're a microwave culture, and I think we have just accelerated that. Everything we do is to make things quicker. You don't have to wait on anything anymore. And I wonder if it tends back to Stephen Covey's, you know, remember his graph on the urgent and the important. That is such a struggle for me. And it's interesting too. Yeah. Just like you talked about a minute ago, email, man, I want to go and deal with emails because it's new context. It might be a new sale. It might be a new opportunity, whatever, to do that. And it's okay, but it's not the most important thing as going and working on my creative work, my building work. I wonder if we're veering more into just that responsiveness culture and that urgentness.
Boy, I think we are. For me, and I'm just reflecting on this morning, I love what she said, and I would just add one more thing, is we've got to intentionally put the right things into our mind. Because what happened was I did all the right stuff, and then I start, getting my day, and I had to go to the recording studio today to record 4 hours for the book Choose to Win. So in the car on the way there, I had prepared my day, and then this thing blew up and I started handling it. I'm driving on the way there. And then this thing hit me, and it was like, man, I sure am glad I built that cushion that I could fall back on. And I just had this moment of gratitude because really I'm about to go do something that I need to be in the right attitude. I need to have the right frame of mind. And the reality is, golly, something happened unexpected with the business. But it's just a to-do. If I'd known about it 3 weeks ago, I'd have still had to do it. It's just the timeline's compressed. And guess what? It's still going to get done.
Yeah.
So when we put the right foundation in and we renew our mind every day, the world doesn't change just because we renewed our mind. But our response to the world, at least we can get that frustration and those things shorter than if we don't have that margin there.
Absolutely. Margin is, it's one of my words for the new year here, Tom, is margin. It's a difficult one for me. It's a difficult one to work out of. Brian Lynchard here, he says, noise and sound, especially chaotic noise, especially multiple sources at the same time. My kids fighting, the TV too loud, barking dogs, the neighbor's leaf blower. Most people don't understand. I'm allergic to noise. Seriously, most people just don't realize that. That's an interesting one. That's a very tangible one, Brian. I appreciate you sharing that. I, too, struggle with that. I have a house. Tom's been there. I have a house out in the woods. That's one of the reasons I struggle with noise. And I wonder if we are getting into a personality style, personality characteristic of being easily distracted, which I am. And so sound can do that. Not only just annoy me, but just be a flat distraction, whereas somebody else doesn't. I think it's an important thing. If that's you, I mean, again, that's why it's one of the reasons I live in the way I do. I have an office that I've changed 3 times, offices in my office complex here, to find the one that suits me best. And now I've gone back to working a day of the week at home again when everybody's gone, so I can just have that quiet and solitude. So I think it's a very personality driven issue.
Yeah, I'm 100% on that. And I don't know personally, but for me, there are certain times of the day when I crave silence more than others. Mm. For me, it's first thing in the morning. Yes. And right when I get home from work, where I'm just chilling, right? I love to come into the house, greet my bride, sit on the couch, no TV, no background noise, just being there. And so I do, I crave it certain times of the day.
That's interesting. I definitely do in the morning, man. I am pretty, it's impossible for me to do my devotions well and really plug in when there's noise, which is why I get up early enough before anybody else is. Gary Bomzer here. He says, dealing with disappointments and expecting more from people who I thought were upstanders, but discovered they were actually bystanders. That's interesting. Just disappointment and expectation. I had a buddy, and not that this is a unique phrase, but say that expectations are premeditated disappointments, in a sense. Premeditated. It was actually another word, like disdain. It was a harder word than that. That is, I mean, having, you know, we can talk about having grace for people, but that's an area I see a lot of people feel like they are consistently dealing with being disappointed in others. And as we well know, we can't control anyone else. All we can control is us. So figuring out how can we deal with those disappointments gracefully, or Tom, I don't know, or set ourselves up to not be disappointed by people, to lower expectations, which sounds almost pessimistic. There's a fine line there, I guess, huh?
I was going to ask you the question. How do you create the right level of expectation with those around you? I know that it's funny. Have you ever been to a restaurant where everybody just raves about it, and then you go in and you're like, oh, that was okay, but I don't know what everybody was saying.
Sure.
And so your expectations are so high, it's hard not to get disappointed.
Yeah.
And then there's the other. Hey, if I don't expect anything from anybody, sometimes people will just do what you expect. And so you get a lower effort or performance out of that person that you don't have any expectations in. So that right level of expectation is good. It's hard to find, and it's important to find. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think because, gosh, I feel like I'm getting old. If you've had a few years under your belt, you know, all of us, when we're young, I think we have high expectations, and then we get quote unquote burned. And so I think a lot of us have that guard. And so I like to set realistic expectations and then look forward to being positively surprised.
Yeah.
And I think that's how I kind of go through life. That's not a peace disruptor for me very often, but I can see how that is.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and in that expectations, this is interesting. You know, Steve Rosen, who we know well, says trusting fear instead of love. You know, when I think about that, to trust love, to trust the positive, that is an expectation setting aspect. Well, what do you expect? And you get what you expect, that aspect of it. But trusting fear, fear is such a buzzword right now in the personal development world, counseling world, consulting world. I don't know what that says about the culture, if we're just bringing it to the surface or if it's increasing, but trusting fear. So many people resonate with, yeah, I have fear of this, fear of that, worry of this, which brings me back to your dad. I'll never forget the day I spent with you guys and him so often saying, you know, I don't worry. I don't worry. Man, that was hard for me to understand and embrace. And not that it's easy today, but I feel like I've grown a little bit there, but that's a, for most people, as you know, Tom, that's a Pollyanna type statement. Really?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I put in the book, Choose to Win, is your mind share is, there's only three places your mind can be. It can be in the past, it can be in the present, or it can be in the future. That's the only places your mind can be. So are you present, focused on what you're doing now? Are you thinking about the future, either a hope or a fear? Or are you thinking about the past? Either the past was a building block that helped me be who I am today, or the past is holding me back like a weight, you know, because that happened to me. Mm-hmm. I could never do something. And so when you think of fear or love, which is what Steve's talking about, what we're doing is we're really, our mind share is usually in the future. Fear is usually in the future. It's about something that may happen, right? It's mm-hmm. just like faith, right? Faith is the belief that something good's going to happen. Fear is the belief that something bad's going to happen. And so what we do and what I teach is that if you fear something, what you do is you like in your mind, you like reach out and you grab it and you bring it to the present. And you say, okay, rather than fear this, what is the problem that I need to solve? And you put an action plan to solve it. And if you can't solve it, if it's not in your power,
right,
then you give it over to God. But the point is, if it's in the future, we can't do anything about it. All we can do is create habits today or thought process today that we can get peace around. Well, I get a great deal of, like, you know, what disrupts your peace is a change of plans. You know, that's me, right? I don't like what gives me peace is understanding and a plan of action and a timeline of, hey, this is how I'm going to address it. And so this is a way where if fear is your disruptor, bring it into the present, identify it as a problem, then focus on the solution. So, you know, never be problem focused, be solution focused. Dad said this, identifying a problem is positive, but fixating on the problem is negative. So we identify the problem, we bring it into the present, and then we focus on the solution to it. And some of our problems, you know, our health, what's going to happen to our kids, you know, what's going to happen with the business 6 months from now, man, all we can do is what we can do. The rest of it, we've got to give over.
Man, I like that line, Tom, of identify the problem, but not fixate on it. That's powerful. It reminds me of the aspect of, you know, it's not a sin to feel anger, but to walk forward in anger is when we get in trouble.
You know, and there's three guys that I love, Will Castillo and Lito Santos and Sergeant G. Gordon. We did this Ragnar race. These are wounded warriors. They're amputees. And we did this 200-mile relay race. So don't get excited. I didn't run 200 miles. It was a relay. And the fact was, here's the fact. The fact that they had to identify is that for them to walk in a race, it's going to hurt. And they're missing a leg. And there's nothing they can do about it except for come prepared. How do you come prepared? The right attitude. The right medication, the right bandages, right? The right mindset. And so the fact is you accept, but the problem is it's going to hurt. And so instead of worrying about all the hurt that could happen, they just come prepared to deal with it as they go. And that freed us up on these races to just have unbelievable fellowship. Right. Not because there was the absence of pain or the absence of hurting, but because we were in the mindset of, hey, you know what? For 36 hours, we're not getting any sleep. This is going to hurt, but we're doing it for a cause bigger than us.
Yeah.
Right. And so we accept facts and then we address problems, but we don't fixate on the fear of what could happen because who knows what could happen? We had a great time. Were we sore when we died? Yeah, we were sore. But boy, was it a great time.
You know, you also mentioned just real quick on fear, what's in, what is and without, what's not in your power. And that's been significant for me, Tom. I can't say that I am without worry or without fear ever, but I have lessened it a lot by just being able to really focus on what I can control and what I can't. And now with those glasses on, seeing people and how much time and effort and energy of themselves they expend on fears that they cannot control at all. And it's so so obvious folly to me now, but I have been there for a long time. And thanks to these sponsors for bringing us today's show.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin. AirDoctorPro.com, promo code Kevin.
Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com.
Well, hey, Karen Little here. I could have started the show with this because she just said, you know, what disturbs her peace? What is there to be the enemy of her peace? She said, me, the biggest enemy can live between my ears.
So for disclosure, a lot of people responded that way. And I asked a lot of them, I said, okay, yeah, but tell me what the specifics are. And so I am trying to read the more specific ones. But yeah, I think when we say that, what disturbs our peace, I mean, it's got to be 95% of the time, me, it's us, we do. I mean, we're back to the point, you know, the foundation of Ziglar and self-talk and the things that are going on in our own heads, whether it's being frustrated by a noise or having fear or whatnot. So yeah, if that was your first thought, I think that's most people, but now we're trying to just get to the specifics. Okay, how does that manifest? Because it is for different people. And that's what we've been talking about here. Case in point, Jennifer Meisel here, she says, what does the enemy of her peace, working on commission, has me constantly worried about money. God has always provided for me, so I'm not sure why I'm always worried about it, but it keeps me up at night. I so appreciate that testimony too, of her saying, God's always provided for me. I'm not sure why I'm worried about it. Again, how often is that where we look at that? I can do that with money and business and new endeavors and things. And you have to look back over my time and go, when have I ever been bereft? When did I ever end up homeless the next morning, Tom? It's never happened. When did my kids go without clothes? It hasn't happened. And yet why do we come back? It's the story. There's the age old story in the Old Testament and in Genesis, Exodus, of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and how God would come down in a flurry of miracles, save them. And then the next minute they're ready to just walk back to their slavery. We read that, Tom, this has kind of hit on me recently. I think we as the church tend to read those stories and think that we're Moses, right? We're the in the know. And as I've been studying it again recently, I thought, no, man, we're the people. Where are the people? And we go awry over and over and over again. It's significant. So, Jennifer, I feel your pain there for sure. Matt Horn here, Tom, he says the overwhelming feeling of always needing to be on. I thought about this with you. I mean, you know, I have my times of being on, but you're Tom Ziglar. I mean, you're there at Ziglar HQ, you got events going on, you got coaching you're doing. You generally, no matter what happens to you, no matter how you feel in the morning, at some point during the day, you have to be on. So I'll let you respond to this. But Matt goes on to say, he says, the always feeling needing to be on. I work at a fast-paced sales management role. I come home to a partner, two kids, and under eight, whom I love dearly, and therefore try to spend as much impactful and meaningful time with them as possible, not just dinner on the couch or TV watching time. I really do get exhausted and anxious at everything you need to do as an adult. And as a result of this, I sometimes put aside the hard growth conversation that I should be having with my significant other about our relationship and family goals and our well-being, etc., and then spending specific time mentoring my eight-year-old to grow up and be a strong and confident girl. These things can be put on the back burner due to the overwhelmingness that I feel. But I do realize that they're the most important things I need to do as a father and partner. That's specific.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think that's the battle we all go through at some point. And this is, to me, this is one of the genius concepts from the book, See You at the Top, and what Dad built his philosophy on it. And he called it the be, do, have philosophy. You got to be the right person, do the right things, and then you can have all that life has to offer. Our culture doesn't see it that way. Our culture, what's glorified is the do and the have. So constant bombardment, 24/7, social media, news, doesn't matter, books, magazines, radio, TV. It's what do you do that gives you identity, and what do you have gives your identity. It's not who you are. But yet, in order to be on, meaning that feeling, I've got to be on, that means that outside eyes have to see what we're doing and judge it worthwhile. Outside eyes have to see what we have and judge it worthwhile. I remember, I think it was Mark Twain. It was Mark Twain or one of the famous writers. They looked at his diary and then his son's diary. And the boy was probably 7 or 8 years old. And in the father's diary, it said, spent all day fishing with my son. What a waste. The boy's diary was, best day ever. Dad and I fished all day. Yeah. And I think the message there is our partner, our spouse, our kids, our closest friends, they want us to be who we are with them. Just being there, present. And Dad's whole philosophy and what we teach at Ziegler is this concept of every single one of us has every ingredient for success. We have all the character qualities. Everything is there. But there's four things we got to do. We got to recognize them. Then we got to claim it. You know, how many times do we go, oh, yeah, I've got that. And then we just move on, right? We don't claim it as ours. We don't own it. And then we recognize, we claim, we develop, and then we use. And so a mindset shift or something that we can do to gain peace, I think, is to really sit down with ourselves and say, what are the character qualities? What are the principles and values of being that are going to give me the most fulfillment? And you know what? It's, you know, like 89th on the list will be responding to emails after 9 o'clock at night. And yet there's this huge weight of, well, what are they going to think, or what's going to happen if I don't? And so we've got to get that clarity of the why. And to me, it's the being part. It's becoming the right kind of person, because we want the fruit of our life to grow naturally. I mean, you never see a tree straining to grow fruit, right? If it's an apple tree, it just happens, right? Yet all day long, it's like we strain to produce the fruit that we think the world wants. When instead we should focus on the intake, the input of what, when we put that in and we reflect on it, what's going to automatically produce the fruit.
Gosh. Yeah. That is a great analogy. I mean, you said the word being so often, and our frequent listeners probably have heard me say this multiple times, but my favorite uncle, Nate Miller, he's also my only uncle, but he's my favorite uncle. And he's just an encourager. Just an encourager, such a rare gem of a person. And he would often, as you were leaving, give you a hug, look in your face, and just say, Kevin, thanks for being. And he'd just leave it there. And as a kid, it was funny. It was later in life when I realized how much of a doer I am, as opposed to a beer, I just really embraced that, or I wanted to embrace that. So my wife got me a custom t-shirt that says, thanks for being. I wear it at home a lot. And it's such a reminder. I think we're a doing society. And just as you said, man, my kids, my friends, my family, my wife, they want me just to be with them and just be sometimes. Goodness. Well, Josh, is it Veliquet? He says, it's hard to articulate, but I would say trying to prove myself worthy of love, knowing that God, my family, and my friends all love and appreciate who I am as is, that no matter what I do, the love and support that comes from them will always be there as a foundation of support in my life. I feel like we can get exhausted trying to prove ourselves worthy of love when we've been given it unconditionally. And when I stop and meditate on that thought, which isn't as often as I'd like, I find comfort and peace. Josh, as everybody here, I think you just spoke for most of us to some degree. And, you know, Tom, in that, that issue right there, I think is a crux maybe in, if we're going to call our industry, personal development, where from a faith-based standpoint, from a love standpoint, from what Josh is talking about, we need to be able to say, I am okay now. I am worthy of love right now. I am acceptable right now. Even as we feel called, and I do as unto God, to also expand my talents, go to the parable of talents, my talents, my gifts, my abilities, to expand those. And can I do more with those? I think yes. And as my good friend Randy, who you know well, would say, it's the both-er. It's both. We got to do both. And how can we hold those? We're back to a balance again. Second time we've hit on a balance. What is that balance? And I had a pastor one time, it's always stuck with me. He said, usually the truth, the glory is in between that balance. It's really the tension between those two seemingly different things. So trying to prove myself worthy of love, you could put love, acceptance, approval, whatever in there. And I think there's very few people who don't deal with that to a degree, Tom.
Yeah. Well, that's a big one too. Yeah. Worthy.
Yeah.
You know, I love the word grace, and, you know, and the whole song, Amazing Grace, the real challenge with it is if Amazing Grace was about, you know, complete these 12 steps, I think everybody would be happier. Right. Yeah. But it's something we can't earn. You know, it's like worthy. Are we worthy because of what we do, or are we just worthy? And that is, man, that's a difficult one. And gosh, for those of us who, if you've ever held a newborn in your hands and you just feel that love, right? That feeling for them. What are they doing besides messing up their diapers? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're fine to say, oh, you're worthy because you're mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause you are precious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness. Well, Colin Martin here, he says, it's unrealistic expectations, we're back to that word, of myself, such as a nagging feeling that I'm not as successful as I should be at this point in my life. Tom, as you were talking there, you saw me fishing around on my bookshelf because I went to grab the book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, by Rachel Cruz. She's Dave Ramsey's daughter. She's got a podcast that's been at the top of the business charts recently. It's a fairly new one. And she, in that book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. And it's really a message kind of on the keeping up with the Joneses type thing, which has increased. And that's what she talks about in the book. We are all more susceptible to that. And social media is a primary proponent of that. We all paste our shiny, happy pieces of our life on social media, and we all see it. And Tom, I am not free from that, of looking at my life, and I could say, gosh, I could die today. Now, I'm not a no regrets guy, but not much that I would say, oh, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. As far as relationally and even success in business, man, I am really fulfilled. And yet there's not a lot of time that goes by where I have to pluck off that little demon of going, oh my gosh, that guy did that, and look how, you know, young he is, or whatever. And just regrets of some of my past. I think it's hard to get away from, because we're constantly have these images and people and stories put in front of us where it can seem like, geez, they did that and I haven't yet. I don't have a magic pill for that one, Tom, other than, you know, coming to peace with who we are, where we are, and why we are.
One of the definitions that Dad had for success was this: success is the maximum utilization of the abilities that God gave you. And that's where we get in trouble. We get in the comparison game, and we compare our gifts and talents and our background and circumstances and, you know, what we've learned and what we've been through with other people. And there is no comparison. We're unique. You know, we're one in infinity as far as creation goes. And so our responsibility, it's like the parable of the talents. You know, the master came back and he didn't say, hey, Kevin, what did you do with the talents I left Tom? You know, it's like,
right.
It's what did you do with what I gave you? And so when we get out of the comparison game and then get into the, you know, being the best person we can be perspective, that's much more realistic. And then, I mean, once again, not to harp on, I mean, this question's on Facebook, but golly, you know, we see, for the most part, we see the 98% good stuff that people put on Facebook, right? You don't see bad hair days and, you know, the project that missed deadline and all that stuff. All you see is the celebration and the smile and the birthday and all the good stuff going on. So I think it's good to just focus in on, okay, what are my strengths? How do I maximize that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Well, here's an interesting one, Tom. Andrea Kun, she says laundry. That was it. Laundry. And I'll tell you why I kept that one in there, because, you know, as funny as that may be, for that to be top of the mind for her, as I have grown and I hope matured, I have realized certain duties, tasks, chores, if you will, in my life that are not worth wrecking my peace. And so I'm giving gravity to her, you know, even if it was in jest, her statement of laundry. If that really is something that wrecks her peace, that's worth looking at. Well, something that wrecks my peace is trying to do bookkeeping or tax work. Even when I couldn't afford it, I finally hired a CPA and a bookkeeper and had them do it. It was worth the peace to myself, my family, to offload that. Same thing I'll say for 99% of the car issues in my family, where I think conglomerate, we have, I don't know, 8 or 9 cars that I tend to be responsible to some degree to. Now, if it's a quickie thing, sometimes I'll get lucky. I am not a mechanic, but I've dealt with them for long enough. Sometimes I get lucky on a little thing, but before I pull a wrench out and start getting my hands dirty, man, I have a mechanic. He takes care of me. I take it there. It's worth it. I am not a mechanical guy. If it's wood, I'm good, but not mechanical. Those are things that really, it was more than just an irritation. I have a hard time keeping my peace, keeping my positivity with those things because they are frustrating. So I quit trying to understand why they do and trying to get past it and say, you know what? There's a lot of things that I do and I do well. I'm going to offload those things, and it's important. And so I'm going to give gravity to Andrea's statement of laundry that, folks, if there's something out there, I'm going to put it in the chore task duty that you have that is really a downer. I'd ask you to question that. Is it really worth you doing it? There's a lot of people to delegate to.
You know, there's a spiritual principle there. A lot of times the things that rob our peace are the things that bring joy to other people. Because what robs our peace? The things that we're not naturally good at. Mm-hmm. What brings joy? Things that I do, and it's just natural and it's easy. And so whether it's doing the yard or having somebody fix your car or 100 things, going to the accountant, golly, we're actually, by turning loose of that and saying, you know what, that's just not my thing, it gives us more peace, but it also brings them joy. Mm-hmm. Because that's what they're good at.
Yes. That right there, just look at, again, I'm going to ask you folks, take permission to give gravity to some of those things that really, really ruin your wah, as my wife would say. Steve Patterson here. And, he says the whirlwind from the book, The Oz Principle. I totally get consumed by the whirlwind often. And sometimes it's just not easy to jump out of it and get back on focus. At risk of shameless self-promotion, which if it's shameless, it's not a risk, right, Tom? So I'm going to just promote here. My first thought of that was the Ziegler Goals Planner, the Ziegler Planner. The testimonies I have heard to that thing. So God, and folks, and I'm going to ask you, Tom, just to speak on it, but whether it's that or something else, but I hear you, Steve, that is mine as well. The whirlwind. I have a big family. I have multiple businesses. And the thing that I am able to combat that with most is having some semblance, however you do it, there's not one way to do it, some semblance of a plan for your day and starting it off, as Tom and I were talking about, in some quiet and in some reframing and renewing your mind, as the Bible says every day. But, you know, again, we'll talk about the Ziegler Planner, but obviously people can do it different ways. But that thing, the testimony, Tom, has been nearly second to none for people who really use it.
Yeah. And let me talk about the principle. I have this quote, and it says that for business owners and people who are in the business world, a system is simply a habit for your business. And in personal development life, a habit is just a system for my personal life. And so one of the ways we gain peace, we control the whirlwind, or at least get on top of the whirlwind most of the time, is we create systems. And one of the most powerful systems of all that I've ever seen is the Ziegler goal setting system. And we use our performance planner, and it takes you through the steps. So anything in life that you want to achieve, you can achieve it by following the system. It doesn't matter whether you want to lose 10 pounds or start a business or go on a trip around the world or pay for a wedding. It doesn't matter what the goal is or the dream. If you follow the system, break it down, work on it every day, you will get there. And I love things about systems that they don't care whether you believe in it or not. They just care if you work it. And so the goal setting system. Now, here's something else that's good about the goal setting system is you can actually take out the word goal setting and you can replace it with the words problem solving. So the Ziglar problem solving system, exactly the same steps as the goal setting system. Some people are goals oriented. Some people are problem solving oriented. It doesn't matter which one you are. What matters is you create a system that allows you to make sense out of the chaos, to bring the whirlwind down to a gentle breeze so that the rudder of your ship and that gentle breeze will take you exactly where you want to go. Where businesses get stuck is, and we work with business owners all the time with Howard Partridge, they grow to a certain point, they're capped off because they have no systems. Every answer is in their head and everybody they work with has to come to them for the answer. So being successful in business is getting those systems that allow people to continually operate the business without your direct input. Your personal life is the same way. The things that you want to accomplish, you've got to create the habits or the systems that you automatically put in play that get you where you want to go.
That is such huge wisdom. And folks, I'm going to admit to you, it's one of the harder things for me. One of the reasons I am self-employed, always have been, is I like spontaneity. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But to some degree, I had a personal assistant one time, finally, long story short, reined me down and said, Kevin, you just don't deliver like you need to do to serve your employees, to serve your audience. When you've got to be consistent, we've got to get you into some at least routine. She knew I didn't like rules. I didn't like guidelines. I didn't like such things. But she said, do you have routines? Do you ever miss your coffee, Kevin? No. Do you ever not brush your teeth? No. She says, those are routines. Can we just get you to do the podcast on the same day every week? Yada, yada. And so I'm not perfect here, folks, but I have created a semblance of having a plan, having a structure, as Tom said. Folks, I've got one more quick one here, Tom. And there are folks, if you want to go to January 28, 2019, to my Facebook page, which is Agent K. Miller. This was posted less than 21 hours ago. There's over 50 comments already. And read through them. They're powerful. We can't get through nearly enough of them today. But Dan Brandenburg, he says ego. Ego wants more. It wants to be seen as more. It wants to have more. It wants to grow. It wants to be unique. It wants to be special. It wants to have power. It wants to control its own fate and destiny. Ego gets bored with the monotony of the status quo. Satisfied is simply not sufficient for more than a few minutes. Ego requires another dopamine boost from something new, novel, and shiny. I just thought that's a book right there, Tom. And I thought, well, if I didn't have ego, what would I have no idea. I do have ego. I try to modify it. I try to be aware of my own self in that sense, but I don't exist without ego. And so just putting that on the table and being aware of that and catering to that, could that help my overall peace and my behaviors, expectations, all these things we talked about? I just thought that was a big one.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know what to add to that. I mean, that's strong. It just reminded me of this quote. I think it had to do with humility. And they said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking less of yourself, right? So it's not
that's
that
good.
We think,
that's good.
Right? It's that we get focused on the right things, you know, the priorities. And ego is all about self. It's like, you know, me, me, me. It's, you know, it's the seagulls and Finding Nemo, mine, 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 right? And we want all these things. But humility or brokenness, which is what I love when I think of Dad and his ultimate quality.
Yes.
It's not that we think less of ourselves. It's that our priority, our motives, the things that we want to accomplish change. And we got to get on top of it. We can own our ego. We can let our ego control us, or we can go in and we can control our ego.
There you go. That's worthy of anchoring this show with. Tom, thank you, folks. Thank you for your incredible, as always, comments. Please keep them coming. It's a gift to this show. It's what makes it so rich. Tom, brother, have a beautiful day. Folks, thanks for tuning in. So, are you aware of the primary enemy of your peace? It's a great topic to take 10 minutes and think about and write down, and then consider what can you do to manage those would-be enemies. Coming up next in show 653 is our habits show, where we walk through the seven spokes on the Ziglar Wheel of Life, this time with Oscar Trimboli, our guest in show 651, where our topic was deep listening. In discussing his personal habits, Oscar talks about photography. But what's interesting is he perceives it as another form of listening. It's really intriguing. I think you'll get a lot out of the habits of this deep thinker. Till then, thank you, as always, for letting me walk with you as we inspire our true performance together.